Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Black Panther, the Avengers, Wonder Woman, Ant-Man. Ant-Man? I always found that one a little strange. They're all superheroes, and they seem to occupy the movie theaters at a remarkable rate. And when we encounter these superheroes, if you do, and I have a teenage son, so I do occasionally, you discover that they have foibles for sure. But in the end, they're superheroes, and they somehow manage to avert crises and save the world time and again. We don't have superheroes in the church. We have saints. And I can assure you, and the reading we just heard from Matthew makes it clear that saints are not superheroes. Although we do believe that they are people in whom we can see the light of Christ shining particularly brightly. Even that can seem a bit of a stretch given what we see here of James, St. James, the patron saint of this parish and many others around the world. Because what we see here is someone I imagine we can recognize, someone who wants to be powerful, someone who wants to be successful. But we also see here someone who doesn't quite have the nerve to ask for himself. No, he and his brother put their mother up to that task, although she also gets to carry some blame because she actually agrees to do this, even though James and John are at this point 20 or 30-something. She should have said no. They should have asked themselves. But regardless, whether it's the mother who asks or James and his brother, the answer is the same. Jesus says, "You do not know what you are asking." And then says, "Can you drink the cup that I will drink?" "Oh, absolutely," they say. And Jesus says they will. And that cup is the cup of suffering, and they will. But they don't know it yet. So we have this image from Matthew's gospel. And we have other images too. We know from another part of the Bible that James and his brother were known as the sons of thunder. So we can guess they probably had some anger issues as well. And what else do we know? We know that like Peter, another saint, and his brother Andrew, another saint, James and John were fishermen. We first hear of them when Jesus comes upon them mending their fishing nets by the Sea of Galilee. He comes upon them and says, "Follow me." And they do, immediately, no question at all. It's one of the best images we have of them. That's the image at the beginning. And the end, James' end, is described in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, though we don't have it in our leaflet tonight. And we discover there that he is the very first martyr of the church, killed by the puppet king Herod in Jerusalem. He did, as Jesus said he would, drink the cup of suffering. While the beginning is great, and the ending of James' story is powerful, I nonetheless think we do well to remember the whole of it. Remember their appellation as the sons of thunder. Remember this story in which they don't even have the courage to ask for what they want, and yet they ask for everything. We do well to remember the whole of it because we are, I think, at least some of the time, more like James in the middle of the story than at the beginning or the end. We don't usually drop everything the first time we hear Jesus calling to us, and most of us hope that martyrdom is not the end. And yet what we know with the story and its flow is that James did grow up into Christ. And the question then for us is, how do we do that? How do we, who are sometimes headstrong and sometimes fearful and sometimes quite unsure of our footing, how do we grow up into Christ? James actually shows us, and Jesus shows us too. Despite the rather difficult encounter between James and his brother and Jesus we just heard, James did not go away with his tail between his legs, nor did Jesus ask him to. He stayed close to Jesus. He stayed close to Jesus. And that's what we all need to do. And how do we do that? We do that by hearing and reading the scriptures, by discovering the saints who are there with all their foibles, but also learning more and more about who Jesus is, what he did, what he said, how he died, how he rose again for our sake. And if reading the scriptures is where we start, we also need to have what James had, which was a personal relationship with Jesus. Such a close relationship that he could ask outrageous things and be told no and continue on. And we build that kind of relationship through prayer, by talking to Jesus, by listening to Jesus, and by doing that in every day and in every season, when we feel like it and when we don't, when we wish someone else could go on our behalf, we just keep talking to Jesus. And if you are unsure about how to do that or unclear about how to begin, that's why the clergy and the lay leaders in this congregation are here in large measure to help you build that life of prayer so that you can build a relationship with Jesus. And the other way we do this is by coming every week, if we can, and as often as we are able, to this table, because we do believe it is Jesus who invites us here to receive the bread, to receive the wine, and in that bread and wine, to receive Jesus himself, so that our lives, our very bodies, are transformed by his body, his blood, his life within us. Reading the scriptures, prayer, coming to this table. That's how we stay close to Jesus. And then there is the other thing we must do, and that is always to take that relationship out into the world. James was one of the apostles. It's a fancy word, and we tend to apply it just to his first followers, or maybe to St. Paul. But apostle simply means one who sent. And Jesus certainly did come, came and lived and died and rose again for each of us so that we might know his saving grace. But not only for us. Jesus came. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for the sake of the whole world, that all might come within reach of his saving embrace. And so if we are going to stay close to Jesus, if we are going to grow up into Christ-likeness, then we have to take our relationship with Jesus out into the world full of people who are just like us, who are full of foibles, full of fears, full of hope, and needing to know God's grace. There's a hymn in the hymnal that if you're a churchgoer, you have probably heard or sung, and if you're not, you should read it because it's completely charming. It's hymn 293, and it's, "I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true." It's very Victorian English, and it really is completely winning. But the fact is that no saint starts out patient or brave or true. They grow up into that sainthood, into the likeness of Christ. And so our challenge is not so much to sing a song of the saints, those others, but to let our lives be transformed so that our lives are in fact a song through which Jesus is proclaimed.